Thanks a million, Shane.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you keeping? It's Catherine in for Ray from now until Friday. Hope you had a lovely Easter weekend. And that, if you're still on holidays, you're enjoying the break. I don't know. I got a real sense over the last few days, just chatting to family and friends. People are really enjoying Easter, I think, in a slightly different way now. I don't, maybe it's the way the days fall, or we get the nice long weekend, and it's still all centred around food and family, but there's just so much less pressure than Christmas, isn't there? And a tweet from Jackie Lynham that I saw kind of sums it up. She says, I think Easter has become my favourite holiday. This year I had 5 days off work. The sun shone for two of them. Relaxed days reading, hanging out at home, seeing family and friends with none of the stressful build-up or money pressures of Christmas. It's just perfect. So I think, yeah, that rings true for a lot of households around the country. And I do hear you, parents who are trying to work from home with kids off school, who are probably climbing the walls, you know, that it's a busy day and probably a busy week for you as well. But we had a debate in our house last night as to whether Easter dinner, with all the trimmings, the lamb and the mint sauce and the peas and the carrot and parsnip mash, was nicer than Christmas dinner. And it was a split vote. My dad and the hubby both said Easter dinner 100%. They take the lamb over the turkey and ham every day. I don't know, for me, Christmas dinner still pips it to the post. All the bits. It would definitely be my final farewell meal. But anyway, you can give me your verdict, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. And speaking of holidays, I'd love to hear from you if you are on holidays with your parents at the minute. You've invited them along under the guise of spending quality family time together, but really, you know, and they know, they're there to give you a hand with the kids. Or maybe, I'm being completely cynical, there's no babysitting required and your parents are just sound and you have a great laugh with them and you love to hang out with them. Because I was reading a piece in The Guardian yesterday about intergenerational holidays, and they interviewed three different families who still holiday with their adult children. And the article kind of explores how it solidifies relationships and how new understandings are created maybe between in-laws. And anyway, they have become such big business. Like, there's a lot of tour operators specifically catering for this market. And if you go, a lot of the hotel chains as well are catering for the market as well with intergenerational family offers. And I suppose when you think about it, how long we were all forcibly separated during COVID, there was a huge desire, I think, for most of us to spend time together again. And a lot of people are probably still playing catch up. So, yeah, maybe let me know your best family holiday moments. And I'm sure you've had some, maybe some dismal ones as well. You can let me know. No in-laws' names will be mentioned. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. We have been hearing left, right and centre about US President Joe Biden. He's landing in Belfast and, of course, wall-to-wall coverage of the event, and rightly so. But we saw this online. I thought this was a bit of crack. Have you seen it? Joe Biden bingo. We can all play Joe Biden bingo. And it actually could be assigned to any state visit in Ireland, really. You just go, you can download your Joe Biden bingo card and you have to fill it all up before the end of his visit, and you win a point on the Joe Biden bingo card if he gets a 99. Now, the weather, I suppose, would have to take a bit of a turn, wouldn't it? But he doesn't drink, so there's not going to be the obligatory shot of the pint of Guinness. But if we see him licking a 99 with a flake, sunglasses on, hey presto, we get a point on our bingo card. And there's nobody that wears the aviators like Joe Biden, possibly Tom Cruise, but he still, you know, he kind of, he pulled them off better than anybody. You also get a point if he mispronounces Ballina or any other Irish place name. If you hear a quote from Seamus Heaney, of course we're going to hear a quote from Seamus Heaney or Yeats, that's also a point. Also a point on your Joe Biden bingo card if he finds if he finds a new cousin. And they're coming out of the woodwork, lads. There was a few more found last night, which I heard on the news. No doubt he'll be told all about them when he gets here. A point for a newspaper headline that reads, "No show like a Joe show." That's inevitable as well. The Beast gets a mention. Do you remember Obama's little mishap with the Beast on his visit? A bump in the road, literally. So if that's, if there's a repeat of that, that gets you a point. A picture of Biden with a baby. That's going to be an obvious one as well. And if it was good enough for Obama, what about a Biden Plaza? A point on the Biden bingo card if he gets his own petrol station in Ireland named after him. There you go. Will we get the full card? We will have to wait and see. But that's a bit of crack if you want to go and have a look for that. Speaking of Americans in Ireland, do you remember when Hollywood superstar Matt Damon was a regular feature in Dublin during the pandemic? He'd pack his towel in a Super Value bag, head down to the 40 foot for a dip. It seems like a lifetime ago, and just recently he's admitted that he and his family loved their time in Ireland so much they'd consider moving here permanently, and he just said himself and the kids had the best time. But anyway, he is back on our screens again, Matt Damon, with Air, and this is the new film that's directed by his pal Ben Affleck. It's telling the story of Michael Jordan and the runners he made famous. Do you remember the Air Jordans? Who could forget them? And it has been a huge box office hit in America. Emily here on the team, she watched it over the weekend and loved it. So apparently great 80s soundtrack, major nostalgia buzz. So that sounds like one to check out if you are looking to get your teeth into a new movie. And actually this email has just landed in to our inbox, ray@rte.ie. Hey Catherine, we are on the road driving to hopefully sunny Wexford. My daughter Yvonne, age 6, has requested Kokomo by the Beach Boys. It is one of her favourite songs to inspire the holiday mood in the car with her grandparents, mom, and new baby sister Anne. We would be very grateful. And that comes in from Michaela. Like, there you go. That's intergenerational holidaying right there. And you know what? Let's keep everyone in a good mood in the car on the way to Wexford. Stevie Wonder can wait, Yvonne. Stevie Wonder can wait. Here's the Beach Boys, especially for you. That is the Beach Boys for Anne. They're travelling down to Wexford. We're going for the Beach Boys to Christmas dinner. We've started a riot here. Mags and Carlos says, hands down Christmas dinner. Catherine, over Easter, no contest. Somebody else, we decided years ago to have lamb for Christmas dinner. It was absolutely lovely. That's because at work and social events at Christmas, I'd had enough of the old turkey and ham and cranberry sauce. I loved it, but I'd had enough by the time I got to Christmas Day. What else? Yes, just saw the movie Air, and it has lots of reasons to love it. Highly recommended. That comes in from Tom, who sent us in an email. And Paddy, Willow and Joe in County Meath said, we're all biding our time. Oh, like it, lads. We're all biding our time to fly out to Spain for a pitch and putt open along with the good weather while the American president comes to Ireland for the rainy days. Well, enjoy, lads. Keep your texts coming in to 51551. OK, let me tell you about today's quiz. Yes, at this stage, you know, it's called the Whodunit Quiz, and we're going to get two of you on air after 4 o'clock to answer three Whodunit questions each. And it could be on music or sport, books, politics, inventions, presidential visits, who knows? Anything that involves human endeavour is up for grabs. There will be clues. If you feel confident and answer the question without a clue, you get 2 points. However, if you opt for a clue because it's going to be much easier, that will get you 1 point on the board. And what is the prize that we've got for you this week? It is a really nice one. Today we are giving one lucky listener the chance to win a 2-night stay for 2 adults and 2 children in a lodge at Photo Island Resort, nestled in the heart of a peaceful island surrounded by gorgeous scenery. It's just 8 miles from Cork City, and you can get to enjoy your own private island this summer. So you can stay in a 2, 3 or 4 bedroom self-catering lodge. You could throw in a granny for that as well, I'd say, at the Photo Island Resort. So it's perfect for families. You can visit them, www.photoisland.ie, for more info. And the question today, to be in with a chance of winning that, if you're not in, you can't win. Who will arrive in Belfast tonight ahead of a 3-day visit to the island of Ireland? Give us a call, 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925 to be in with a chance of winning that prize. Lots of random emails coming in here. Catherine, can you find out how many people still get the birthday bumps? Says Rachel in Cork. Wow, I have not heard about that for about 40 years. Somebody else, Danny, says, we're travelling to Disneyland Paris in June, all 9 of us, family, spouses and grandchildren. Trip of a lifetime. That sounds like a good one. All right, keep them coming in, but I should take a quick break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, the weather might tell a different story, but summer is on the way and we're heading towards the big wedding season in Ireland with pent-up demand after lockdown still being seen. So today we are going to take a peek into the world of humanist weddings, which are growing in popularity, as everybody knows. And I'm joined now by humanist celebrant.
I know, I can't believe it
Ruth
either.
Scott. I said, it's like, I'm delighted for you. And I know from reading you talking about this, like, this is something that you are so passionate about.
Absolutely.
You love it. And what's not to love? Like, you get to spend your weekends.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, can I tell you, midweeks, Sundays, Mondays. Last year was an eye opener for everybody.
Because
there was so many people trying to catch up on their weddings that there was calls coming in saying, can you do a Tuesday?
Yeah.
Can you do a Thursday morning?
Like, but to get to spend like the happiest day of somebody's life and to be a part of that and like to get out of bed and get dressed for that, like that's pretty special, isn't it?
Listen, I haven't worn a suit as much as I have in my life. I've worn the suit so many times in the last year and a half. It is amazing. And what I really love is like, you get to make the couple the entire focus of the ceremony because a humanist wedding ceremony is secular. So it's non-religious. And so instead of, let's say, religious prayers and things like that, it's readings that the couple choose. So it could be something like, there's a great one that people often throw in called What I Know About Love by Dolly Alderton from one of her novels. It could be something from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Somebody had a reading one time which was a couple of lines of text from One Tree Hill, the show. Now it sounds ridiculous and trite, but they picked a lovely piece. And as I always say, isn't that brilliant that the couple get to pick what they include to kind of reflect them?
So I'm always really what they identify with.
Yeah, and then their friends would be having a giggle going, oh my God, I can't believe they had, you know, One Tree Hill included in the wedding ceremony.
So just so I'm sure, so there, we have three types of wedding in Ireland, right?
Yeah. So the one that I guess most people are probably most familiar with is a church wedding.
Yep.
So whatever faith you are, church wedding for that. Then there's what we might know of as
civil ceremony.
The civil ceremony. So that's the HSE, and that could be either going into the HSE to do your wedding with them, or sometimes they come out to particular environments where they're able to do, and they have a list of criteria that they need to follow to do that. And then you have us, the humanists. We are the only completely secular, so non-religious. I honestly had to learn the word secular when I became a humanist celebrant. It means non-religious, not anti-religious, but non-religious ceremonies. And we are able to legally marry couples. And as I always say, can I just give you, this is the line I say, I'm a humanist celebrant accredited by the Humanist Association of Ireland and a registered solemniser, which as I always say in the ceremonies, is a fancy way of saying I can legally marry the couple here today.
Okay, so there's plenty of people, because I've been at weddings where somebody will stand up for a mate and do the service, but that's not legally binding, if you like. So they would have had to have their registration with the...
Exactly, they might have gone to the HSE beforehand or
afterwards.
Whereas
A solemniser,
there's a list of HSE registered solemnisers, and we are all the people who get to say the line, by the power vested in me by the Irish government, I now pronounce you...
Oh!
Legally married, or husband and wife, or whatever it
is. By the power invested in me. Do you love it?
That's my favourite line. Like, I feel like He-Man and She-Ra all together at the one time.
So, sorry, first of all, how do you become a solemniser? What does it involve?
Yeah.
Like, what sort of course do you have to do?
So, because it's with the humanists, and they're the only secular weddings in Ireland, I became a member, and I became a very active member, so kind of volunteering here and there. And we all do it. We're a small group. So when we gather together, there's always someone collecting tickets on the door, or, you know, making a list of these kind of things. And then with time, I heard that they were looking for applications for celebrants. We're going to train people. So you have to submit like a real job, Catherine. You submit your application. You do an interview, which was done during COVID, my one happened to be. And then we did the training. And then you have to pass the training. And then there's a sort of a probationary period for me. You know, me and there was 10 of us did it last year or the year before. And, you know, you kind of just get checked to make sure that, yeah, they're ticking all the boxes. They're legally marrying everyone. Great. And then that's it. Now, it's in big demand in a sense. Lots of people, since I started doing it, have said, oh, I'd love to be a wedding celebrant. And it's a hard job to be able to get, but for me it's worthwhile because I feel it is so important for what brought me to it is I'm an atheist.
Okay.
And I thought, what do you...
Did you grow up in a Catholic house?
I grew up in the most Catholic of houses.
Okay.
There was rosaries. We used to be the Scott Family Choir on a Saturday night at Mass.
Wow.
And then again on Sunday. Like, I did readings. I would have been an altar girl if I thought I'd get away with it. And when I was a teenager then, I just kind of thought... you know, I had my own sort of epiphany.
And was that a moment or did that happen for you over time?
I think it happened over time. The irony being that it happened in my time in a convent education system. So my seven older siblings, you know, they're all Catholic and practicing in different stages. And I just thought, God, that's not me. And it was only years later I said to one of my sisters, I'm an atheist, no more church things for me. And she said, what do we do with you when you're dead? And I thought, oh, so I'd never thought about what happens. And then I started thinking about the rituals of life. Like, you know, you got married a couple of years ago. You possibly had a christening or a baptism for your baby. Mm. There's these gatherings, and I'm from a big family, and we always got together for the baptisms and the confirmations and the weddings, and it was all around religious ceremonies. And I thought to myself, what's going to happen if I take myself away from all that? Now, it doesn't mean I don't go to them.
Of course.
But I thought, I need to rethink. And I realised that the
humanists... Because it is important to mark those moments, whether it was a religious ceremony or not.
So important. Like, the importance of a baby naming. Mm. Yes, it's fun and it's light. But at the same time, this is a new parent's way of saying, we want our child to be brought up in this particular way. Mm. If we are not, you know, religious people, we want to be able to raise our child in a way that people know and acknowledge. Same way, like when kids are making their first communion, we're trying to arrange, some schools are great for this, arranging something whereby the young kids can have a day themselves for the non-religious, and then the next day is for the communion. So everyone gets to enjoy it. And then same with weddings and funerals.
So do you do funerals as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And honestly, if somebody wants a secular funeral, there is nothing nicer than to be able to do it and help somebody celebrate the person who's passed away. In the same way as at a wedding, we're celebrating the couple. It's all about the individual or the couple.
So what was it about humanism? What is it? If you were to describe it, like what was it that drew you to it? Explain it to us, really.
Yeah, so look, I'll explain it in three words, but you could have theses written on it. For me, humanism is good without God. So it's not relying on a higher power. It's not relying on a sacred text. And that's kind of where that's pretty much how I follow my life, good without God. So I'm not going to wait for a higher power to, you know, impart on me through a man on an altar that this is or isn't a good thing to do. So there'd be a lot of interest in science. There'd be a lot of talk about Darwin and the theory of evolution and all these kinds of things and scientific developments. And a lot of it is about living your best life now, as opposed to thinking, well, when I'm in the afterlife, I'll do this or the other.
Okay. And did I read, was the first humanist ceremony that you attended your own?
It was. Oh my God, it was.
You're married to Rob.
I'm married to Rob.
Rob Morgan. Who
I met on the radio. He rang in to play a competition.
Go on, stop it.
God. And then he met...
And just to remind the listeners, so Rob Morgan is Dermot Morgan's son.
Yeah. Hilarious when I started
so
going out
him
with him.
On the radio?
Because I remember going home saying, the new boyfriend, his father's a priest. Ha ha, joking, he's actually dead. Ha ha, he's not actually a priest.
But he rang in to your radio show.
He rang in to play a competition. Here, in this building. And he lost, and we sent him out some rubbish Disney hit CD compilation, and he's so polite and so well brought up that he sent me a Facebook message afterwards saying, thanks very much, I got my CD.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And I was air with Paddy McKenna at the time, who I jokingly refer to as Cilla Black in a way because he played a part, you know.
And then you met up and you connected and that was it.
Yeah. We were offered the waxwork statue of Dermot Morgan to bring to our wedding. We decided it might be just a tiny bit too odd.
Just too far.
But like, I just thought, I don't want to have any religion in my life. And I didn't want to have it in a wedding ceremony.
Mm.
And we got this lovely man called Dennis Hobson, who was great. And we chose readings and we had music. And there was like, do you know what's the big rage now? You know, the Bridgerton style classical strings of contemporary songs.
And in fact, Philip Boucher Hayes was actually I heard him on the Claire Byrne show this morning about the impact of the music.
Yeah.
Now of all the big TV series.
It is so hot right now, as the kids say.
Okay.
Although I doubt the kids say that anymore.
So Mary and Jim or Mary and Breed or Jim and Don or whatever, whoever you are marrying, they come to you. Do you sit down with the couple? Is it done over Zoom? And how is it done? And yeah, everyone is obviously so individual.
Absolutely. Every couple that would reach out to me, I'd say, look, let's have a conversation, 15, 20 minutes on the phone. I can give you an outline of a ceremony. You can ask me any questions, because I say to people, my first wedding I went to, humanist wedding, was my own. So I don't expect necessarily everybody to know what goes on. Mm. And then maybe they'll talk to other celebrants. They'll come back to me then and say, we'll go ahead with you. Then at a later stage, we sit down and we have a 90 minute meeting on Zoom. And then that's when I throw all the things at them. I say, like, you can have a traditional wedding. You can have a contemporary wedding. You can have a bit of both. You can walk down the aisle together. You can, you know, I had a lady recently whose dad and stepdad walk her to her down the aisle. Couples sometimes walk down the aisle together. You can do what you want, but maybe it's until you sit down with your humanist celebrant that you don't even really think about it. Mm. Maybe you're just thinking, do you know what? We want to get married in this hotel and we'd like to have the ceremony in the same place. And we like the idea of having a non-religious ceremony. Mm. And, you know, the three worlds collide and hey presto, you've got a humanist wedding. And very different. And I always say to couples, there's two things. I say, what kind of tone do you want your ceremony to take? And yes. What I mean is, like, what's your day going to be? Is your day going to be black tie? Is it formal? Is it, you know, string quartets all the way? Or is it a bit more relaxed and lighthearted? Because once I know that, it helps me in how I talk to them, in the things I suggest to them, mm. and also in how I carry out the ceremony.
And I suppose after that meeting, Ruth, that, you know, you're basically passing the book back to a certain degree on them.
Yeah.
Because you then have to think about who am I? Who are we as a couple? Who's yeah. going to be there? Which is lovely yeah. as well, because it actually makes people
really does.
Sit down and have a conversation.
I mean, there's no pre-marriage course or anything like that. Yeah. It's all like, we do it all on Zoom and then we do meet in person beforehand. But it does leave a certain amount of responsibility. And any couple who's ever spoken to me, they'll know this. I say to couples, a humanist wedding is great because you get to make all the decisions. Mm. And I follow that up by saying a humanist wedding is a bit of a pain because you have to make all the decisions.
Yes. Delighted to hear Ruth is now a practicing celebrant. We were at St. George's Arts and Heritage Centre, Mitchelstown, which is a deconsecrated church building. Yeah. Have had many civil services there and they are the most enjoyable events we host. The warmth and inclusive nature of each ceremony is unique and memorable.
And all about the couple. If the couple want to have S Club 7 reach for the stars played
yes.
as they sign their, you know that thing you see the couple signing, you remember the famous
yes.
green folder.
Yeah.
If they want to have that, let them have it. It doesn't take from anyone's experience. It's not rude. It's not intrusive. And the thing about a humanist wedding is always explained as it is a welcoming ceremony and it acknowledges there are people of other faiths and no faiths. So whatever you believe in, whoever you believe in, whatever you love, everyone is welcome here today.
So we've talked a bit about music. So what would be your advice when it comes to your signing the paper? Is it go for a big banger, is it?
I do know.
Go out with a big
one. I do know somebody who is having S Club 7 reach for the stars as they're signing music this summer. So, but if you like Damien Rice, if you like Billie Eilish. I've heard Billie Eilish done one woman singing on a guitar.
AC/DC?
It's amazing. No AC/DC, but I wouldn't be surprised at some stage.
We did Guns N' Roses.
Oh, did you?
We did Guns N' Roses.
You were signing?
I walked down the aisle to Guns N' Roses. But honestly, they're my favourite band in the world.
And
we did Sweet Child of Mine, but really stripped back and acoustic.
There you go. Nice. That's kind of Bridgerton-esque style.
But listen, we were going to play Stevie Wonder, Signed, Sealed and Delivered.
Classic.
I think that's a good
one. It's a classic.
I think it's a good one.
Very often that's the walking out, the I now pronounce you, and they do the signing and then I say, ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you to be upstanding? I now present to you for the first time, Mrs. and Mrs. or Mr. and Mrs. Very often it is.
Give us your favourite line again.
By the power vested in me by the Government of Ireland, I now pronounce you legally married.
Ruth Scott, it's been a pleasure. Here's a bit of Stevie Wonder. Christmas dinner versus Easter dinner debate rumbles on. Easter dinner all the way in our house, Catherine. My husband Kieran cooks it every year in our mobile home in Liscannor, County Clare. Lamb in the wild west of Ireland never tasted so good. All six of us, Duffins, Kieran, Aoife, Tadhg, Owen, Oisín and Fiach, driving home in the car right now to Portlaoise, enjoying the show. Drive safely, guys. Good to hear from you. Catherine, holidays are for everyone. Great to get the whole gang together when you can. I hope everyone enjoys this week. And remember, it's not long till the May bank holiday. Lots of love coming in for Ruth Scott as well. We had a humanist ceremony and my wife walked down the aisle to Slayer's Rain in Blood. Yes, I love it. All right. It was such a huge part of Irish households. Take a listen to this.
Neighbours Everybody needs good neighbours. Just a friendly wave each morning.
Oh my goodness, it just brings me right back. A Neighbours ran for 37 years. And we thought it was all over when it came to an end last July. They had a huge finale which saw lots of the original soap stars coming back, including Kylie Minogue and Jason Donovan and Guy Pearce and Margot Robbie. But after the final curtain fell, news rippled around the world that it was coming back, and filming is set to recommence this Monday in Melbourne. And we've got Ramsay Street favourite Carl Kennedy, Dr. Carl Kennedy, on the line. Alan Fletcher, good afternoon.
Hello, Catherine. How lovely to speak to you.
Oh, you too. You too. How are you doing?
Oh, going great, actually. We've just finished a 14-date music tour, which started in Belfast and went all over the UK.
Yes.
Sadly, nothing down south. But, yes, it's been an incredible tour. And, of course, we did the Neighbours Celebration Tour before that, 15 dates travelling all over the UK as well.
Oh, my God. So you've been busy, because I know, yeah, your new album is called The Point, and you're travelling with your wife, who I know works with you as well. And the Neighbours Celebration Tour, that was originally called the Neighbours Farewell Tour. And then, obviously, what happened happened, and you guys still went ahead with it.
Yes, we turned it into the celebration tour, which was brilliant, because it would have been a bit maudlin, actually, to be the farewell tour. And we got to meet Catherine. There were 32,000 people came to see the show. We were sellouts all over the country in very large auditoriums, three shows at the London Palladium. We met face-to-face. We met 3,000 people. And then when I went out on the music tour, I got to see everybody who ever came to my show. So I've caught up with a lot of
goodness.
Brits, certainly, who love Neighbours. And when I was in Dublin, I also caught up with a lot of Irish, wonderful Irish fans as well, who wanted to say how much they love the show. So I'm so excited to be going back. I'm so excited to bring new episodes of Neighbours.
Yeah, because, I mean, it must have come as a big shock, or did it come as a big shock to you and all the crew when they announced the show was being axed, or did you guys see it coming?
Well, we didn't really see it coming, but we were aware the negotiations were dragging on longer than you would normally expect them to. And to be honest with you, I've been there 27 years, and I've been on a one-year contract every year. So in this business, you're a rooster
Alan,
one day.
Really?
Yes. So you're a rooster one day and a feather duster the next. So you just accept the fact that it could end any day. But unfortunately, for it to end for 200 employees instantly, simultaneously, was kind of shattering. But also what was truly shattering was getting feedback from the fans about how gutted they were. And because Neighbours, as you know, it's not just a sort of a standard TV show that people watch in 13 episodes in one series. It's part of people's lives. It's in their living room every night. So yes, the fans were absolutely shattered.
And I mean, it was still getting 1.5 million viewers when Channel 5 called time on it, and I suppose Amazon Freevee then recognised the outpouring of love and support for the show, and that got it over the line. And just when, you know...
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, when you talk about being on the show for 27, 28 years, I mean, take us back. When you first got the gig on Neighbours, because it was already a juggernaut at that point, right?
It was. The Kylie and Jason wedding, of course, reportedly attracted somewhere around 18 million viewers in the UK. And so it was a huge juggernaut. The funny thing is, when I joined the show in 1994, I had absolutely no idea of the show's popularity overseas. We never talked about it, and it was never really remarked on. We just did the show and sort of went, oh, that's nice. It sells around the world. That's lovely. It wasn't until I actually came over to Panto in 1999 that I got a real sense of how fanatical people were about the show.
I mean, I read a statistic in 1989, 20 million people a day in the UK were tuning in, which was about a third of the population.
Yes,
that
incredible,
is
isn't it?
It's crazy. And you, of course, played Dr. Carl Kennedy. And again, alongside Jackie Woodburn, who was cast as Susan Kennedy. And you guys have had such a beautiful working relationship for so long.
Yeah, we're not just great pals, we're great colleagues in terms of work as well, because, Catherine, we think the same way about acting. We laugh at the same things, and without ego, we can help to make us seem better by making suggestions to each other about how we might play something without the other person getting offended. So it means that we've got a little shorthand between us, which helps us to get the work done quickly. And it also just makes the work a joy because, you know, we can make each other laugh, which is a delightful thing.
I think you always get that from the show and when you watch it, and especially when you hear you guys being interviewed. I've been down to Melbourne, down to the set. I got to go to the Home and Away set as well. So, I mean, I'm a big fan, Alan. And I have to ask you, what was it like filming the finale and having the big stars back on set, like the Guy Pearces, and I know Margot Robbie sent videos, and Natalie Imbruglia. And when you think of the amount of stars that Neighbours, you know, they owe their careers to Neighbours.
Yes, and that's why they came back, Kath. And every single one of them said that they wanted to do something in the finale, just as a show of appreciation to Neighbours for what have they done for their career. Mm. And the best one for me, well, not the best one, but one of the biggest ones for me was Guy Pearce coming back, because he did three episodes of the show in a really substantial role. And the Jane, the Mike and Jane storyline at the end, where they kind of fell back in love again, was, I think, one of the most poignant scenes of the final episode. So good on Guy for coming back. Good on everybody for coming back. It was fabulous. And it was Old Home Week as well. You know, there's all these people I'd worked with years ago all coming back. So it was very enjoyable.
So you're due to fly home this week. You're going to start filming very soon. Have you had any insight into new storylines or where the series is going to pick up?
Well, extraordinarily, this morning I got the email saying your new scripts are in your email, your work email. So I literally have not been able to read them yet because I need a computer to access that email. So I'm sitting here dying of curiosity myself. As soon as I get on the plane tomorrow, I'll open that up and start reading those scripts. And by the time I land, I'll have a real clear idea of what the first week of filming is, but that's all I've got so far.
Okay. And who else has signed up, Alan, and what other characters have been confirmed for the revival?
Well, we do know that we've got Stephen Dennis playing Paul. We've got Toadfish, of course, played by We've got Toady, we've got Paul, we've got Plain Jane Superbrain, we've got Susan Kennedy and myself, we've got a beautiful Mackenzie coming back into the show, and that, I think that's all I know. Rebecca Emeloglu is coming back to reprise Rebecca.
Okay.
That's all I know at this stage. So, yes, they've kept it very, very top secret.
And I'm sure there has been a lot of nostalgia since last year and chats. And I mean, are there any special moments for you or any favourite storylines from the last nearly 30 years that stay with you?
Yes, well, to be honest with you, all the big affair storylines, obviously Carl and Susan getting married in London, all those big storylines will always stick with me. But my favourite episode, Catherine, episode 7,000. Carl Kennedy loses a scratchy ticket worth $7,000. And he has to nude up to go into Toadie's house, Toadie's having a naturalist lunch, as you do on Neighbours. He has to nude up to go and look for his ticket. And he finds it stuck to Toadie's backside.
That's a good one in my books. That is a good one in my books. Well, listen, safe travels back. And I know you're always welcome here and obviously in the UK as well, because you're doing, it's another tour that you're doing. Is that in July? The Doctor Will See You Now?
That's right. In June, July, I'll be touring again, doing the show I did last year, which is a show all about Carl Kennedy's life on Neighbours and all the people he's worked with. That was immensely popular, so much so that we were reprising that show. And then I'm also planning my next music tour. I want to bring my music to, certainly I want to bring it to Ireland. So I'm working with my booking manager now on that. And I hope to do that in 2024, to be touring again with my music from my album, The Point, and some new music as well.
Fab. Well, listen, it was lovely to chat to you. And again, we can't wait to tune in the next couple of weeks. Neighbours is back on in action. So, Alan Fletcher, it was lovely chatting to you this afternoon, and safe flight back down under.
Thank you very much, Catherine. Great to chat to you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, I read out a random text at the top of the show that came in. Was it from Rachel, I think, who was asking that were birthday bumps still a thing? Who was that sent it in? Rachel in Cork. And Zoe has said, Catherine, you've brought me back to when I was 7, full of junk food, fizzy drinks, birthday cake and jellies at my party. Someone decided it was time for the birthday bumps. I think they got to 5 before I projectile vomited all over my yellow dress and my friend's shoes. I was devastated and never had them since. Yeah, you don't see them anymore. I'd say it was a health and safety thing as well, mind you. Great to hear Ruth Scott on the radio again, and great to hear the joy and enthusiasm which she brings to humanist ceremonies. I've been at a humanist wedding where someone read Carrie's poem from Sex and the City. It wasn't for me, but a lot of people were surprisingly choked up by it. There you go. All right, keep the texts coming in. 51551. Now let's get a little bit of music. This is Smith and Thell. That is the wonderful Smith and Thell there. Forgive me, friend. Now, with the kids' Easter holidays continuing this week, we've asked pastry chef Laura Gannon of Kilkenny's Cake Face Patisserie to share some tasty chocolate recipes to use up some of that leftover Easter egg chocolate that's lying around the house. Now, there's not that much of it left in my house, I will have to admit. I did that spring cleaning the fridge last night, but instead of kind of putting it away in Tupperware, I pretty much ate everything that was left in the fridge. Laura Gannon, how are you this afternoon?
Catherine, hi, how are you? Great, hi. Thanks.
Good, 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 good. So listen, I know the patisserie was open down in Kilkenny. Were you open all over the weekend?
Oh, we were, absolutely. It's probably one of our busiest weekends, actually.
So,
yeah, we had a really busy weekend. Everyone's grabbing hot cross buns and the alternate to Easter eggs, maybe a few little desserts to bring home for that Easter Sunday dinner.
Your desserts are amazing. Like, I was salivating even after eating all the chocolate last night. I went on this morning and looking at all your desserts, like, they are works of art. And yourself,
oh,
and your
thanks,
husband,
yeah.
You've launched a new venture.
Yeah, we have. We had a busy weekend. We've opened reopened a restaurant on Kieran Street in Kilkenny, so in the centre of Kilkenny there. Actually, it's with a chef friend of my husband who they went to school together. He's an Irish guy called Conor Higgins. He's been living in Canada in Vancouver, and he works predominantly with veg, and we've opened a pure vegetarian restaurant, which is down a treat this weekend. So we were open for lunch and brunch. So we had things like Scotch eggs on the menu, but with a mushroom kind of pate around the egg. And it was just beautiful. The recipes were flying out now. So, so it's going to be fully vegetarian, and everything is concentrating on locally sourced, sustainable, all that kind of thing. So yeah, it was it's exciting. Yeah,
it
really
is exciting.
And
I mean, where do you see the landscape of vegetarian restaurants and cafes in Ireland now? Because just you mentioned Canada there, it's huge in Canada, huge
obviously
in Los Angeles. Are we getting there?
I hope so. Yeah, I mean,
says me who spent the first half of the show just talking about lamb dinners.
Lamb dinners. Yeah, we're switching tack now. Yeah, well, it's funny because we've been dealing with a lot of the local farmers, local and smaller producers as well, and there seems to be a big appetite, and even since COVID, for people to, you know, go to the local greengrocer and pick up what's in season. I think we really have to start concentrating on what's in season and not be afraid of it. I mean, you go into the shops now and it's turnips, but I think we had kind of an ugly relationship with the old Irish turnip previously, but I think everything is becoming back around and people are willing to kind of, you know, explore more that what's on the shelves. And we've got to get rid of all the plastic that's wrapped around our vegetables in our big supermarkets.
Totally.
And try and buy local if we can.
Totally. Well, listen, we could talk about veg all day long, but really we're here to talk about chocolate.
We are.
And what
in more
to
my
do
end
with
of
it. So like, the kids are at home. What are we going to do with all this leftover chocolate? Give us some creative ideas.
Well, I tell you, we don't have a huge amount left. We did gather up the last of ours last night, but I have a 6 and a 4-year-old, and you can imagine if there was chocolate left, it's going to get hoovered up constantly.
Yes.
I nearly have anxiety about the levels of chocolate that is lying around. So I've come up with a couple of ideas that might just help to steer it in a slightly healthier direction.
Okay.
And good for lunchbox snacks over the next few days. So what we were doing last night actually was kind of like a chocolate and peanut butter flapjack. So we kind of have the good and the bad in this one.
Mm-hmm.
So we were using just lovely porridge oats. We have our leftover chocolate. Now, it depends. Most of the youngers go for the milk chocolate, but I like an old dark chocolate Easter egg as well. So if you have some dark chocolate lying around, this will also work. And then what we do is we put it in with peanut butter, some cinnamon, some chopped up apricots. And this is a great one to get the kids involved with.
Chopped
my
apricots,
4-year-old
nice.
Loves cutting up apricots with a scissors. I could leave him doing it for hours.
Wow.
So And yeah, they can get their hands in a mix. It's a just one bowl. All the ingredients go in together. A little bit of honey, a little bit of peanut butter, a bit of cinnamon. So, and then it's just a tray bake in the oven, and we would chop that up and freeze it down. And that goes into the lunch boxes actually as that kind of slightly healthier treat. So that was a good way of hoovering up a bit of the excess chocolate. So that's most of our Easter eggs.
Love that one. And when you smush all that down and lash it in the tray, what do you bake it at and for how long?
Oh yeah. So I put it in for about a 170. It depends how hot your oven is. A lot of people know their oven best, but about 170. And you're probably talking about 15-20 minutes, and it's really until it goes you'll see a little bit crispy on the top and kind of a golden colour. And then when you take it out, just leave it cool, and then you can cut it up into little bite size and either put it in an airtight box or put it in the freezer.
And I then love you the can... idea of having stuff in the freezer, because you know when the cake sales come around or somebody pops in, or you have play dates and you're nothing, you've nothing.
I lose the letters that come in the suit in the school bags that say, you know, cakes needed for tomorrow. So and next thing you're on the WhatsApp group at 10 o'clock at night going, right. But the next recipe actually is handy for that one, because we're doing a little Easter chocolate cupcake, and cupcakes freeze really well. And also another thing that the kids love to get involved in, and this is a really easy one to remember because it's 200 of everything. So you're going 200 unsalted butter, 200 grams of leftover chocolate, so be it milk or dark chocolate, doesn't matter, 200 grams of light brown sugar, and then 2 eggs and 250 grams of self-raising flour.
Okay.
So a totally easy one to remember. And actually all you're doing is you're melting your butter and your sugar and a little 100 grams of water in a saucepan and pouring it over your chocolate to melt it. And then you're just popping your eggs and your flour in.
Nice.
And then it's super easy. And again, this is one, depends how old your kids are. Mine would need still a little bit of supervision, but 7 and 8 year olds can totally manage this with just an eye on them. And they love getting involved with it, you know, hands in, getting a bit messy. Mm. And then just into some cupcake papers and again, into the oven about 170, 15, 20 minutes. And obviously your helpers can get to each one when they're straight from the oven, but the rest of them I tend to freeze down and have them ready to go in the freezer.
I'm also looking at your buttercream recipe here. That's to lash on the top of the cupcakes, obviously.
Absolutely. And also, very simply, if you want to make a little chocolate sauce for ice cream, you just basically want to do twice the amount of chocolate to cream. Especially if you're using milk chocolate, and you just heat up the cream and pour it over your milk chocolate and give it a nice stir around. Ooh. And if you wanted to put a little knob of butter into that guy there and pour it over some ice cream, that's an absolute winner.
So that's your kind of your hot chocolate sauce. Can you make that, and does that store well, or does that freeze well?
Are
you
better?
Does it? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm pretty everything goes in my freezer now. When it comes to things like that, I'm all about having the handy things to kind of grab and go, as you say, with if you have a play date, something like that, that you can just pull out and have it on hand. Life is busy enough, you have to try and make it easier for yourself.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it was lovely to chat to you today, and
you too.
Best of luck with the new business. Thanks for all that, and we'll probably try and get some of those recipes if we can up on the website.
Absolutely.
As well.
Great.
And yeah, enjoy the rest of the holidays.
Thanks a million.
Thanks, Laura.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I was chatting to Laura Gannon before the break there about chocolate recipes and what to do with all the leftover eggs. And I forgot to ask her, like, when is it, how long can you leave an Easter egg in the house? Do you remember years ago, you were either the house that demolished everything and ate everything around you, which was our house, or you were like my cousins across the road, and you'd go into the house in August and they'd still be piled up on the piano. With white, like you open it and they were all white. How long do they last these days? I don't know. Someone let me know. Sue has said, like Laura, Catherine, my nerves are gone with the amount of chocolate in the house. I've hidden most of it and will use it for the Rice Krispie cakes for the 2 birthday parties in May. Okay, Sue's going to May with the eggs. And then we had Alan Fletcher from Neighbours On. And Lorna in Carlow has emailed in, hey Catherine, our secondary school had to show Neighbours in the science lab from 1:30 to 2 because the students were late coming back from lunch watching Neighbours in their homes. Those were the days in the 1980s. There you go. All right, keep them coming in. But Anish Toshi and I am the Priya Shkelt and the Nukta, La Marian the Hu. Gurama, good Marian. All right, now it is time for this. Yes, It is the Whodunit quiz, and we have two people who are ready to do battle on the line. They are going to answer three questions each. It could be on anything that involves human endeavour. And they can opt for clues, and we'll go through that in a moment. But here is what they are playing for today. One of them is going to win a two-night stay for two adults and two children in a lodge at Foda Island Resort, which is nestled at the heart of a peaceful island surrounded by gorgeous scenery. You're only 8 miles from Cork City, so you can pack your bags and escape to your own private island this summer. You can choose a 2, 3 or 4 bedroom self-catering lodge at the resort, so perfect for families or groups of friends or golfers or whatever. Fotaisland.ie, that's F-O-T-A, Fotaisland.ie to find out more. And the question that we asked the guys who you're going to hear from in a second was, who will arrive in Belfast tonight ahead of a 3-day visit to the island of Ireland? And it was, of course, Joe Biden. Now, more than two of them got it right, but two of them are on the line. Claire McNally from County Tyrone and Jeff Duffy from Glasnevin. Good afternoon, lads.
How are we?
Hey, Catherine, how are you?
Listen, we're mighty. We're mighty. Claire, you are player number one. They reliably inform me. How are you? How was your Easter?
Oh, very well. And full disclosure, Catherine, we were down. I'm from Cork originally, but live in Tyrone now. So we spent Easter down in Cork and we're on our way back up the country now in the pouring rain.
Fabulous, fabulous. When you say we, who's in the car with you?
So Dad, Kieran and Cuiva, who's 11, and Finn, who's 9.
Hi, Cuiva. Hi, Finn. Did you have a nice holiday?
Well, they're listening in close here to me, so okay. Yeah, they had a good holiday.
Okay. Yeah, we did.
You did. Fabulous. Where were you in Cork, Claire?
We were in Middleton.
Oh, you were in Middleton. Lovely. How many Easter eggs did you get?
Well, I had 6 up in my house, but I got 3 of them down. So.
6 Easter eggs?
And we got none, Catherine.
None?
She shared with nobody except the dog, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay. How many did Finn get?
Finn, you got 6 as well, and
I got 3.
Yeah. Enough that there's still more to go around for the rest of the week.
Exactly, exactly.
Very good. And Kieran missed out, I believe.
He was working. He didn't get down to come down to Cork this weekend now, so we'd love an excuse to go back down once again.
Okay, and do you know the resort? Do you know Foda Island?
We actually got married there, Catherine, 13 years ago. So
we'd
love an excuse to go back again. We really would.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Can you remember, I was chatting to Ruth Scott about wedding songs. Can you remember yourself and Kieran's wedding song?
Absolutely. Kieran chose it for me, and it was "You're Just Too Good to Be True," because that's the way he feels about me. He can't speak or hear what we're saying at the moment, so just trust me on that one.
He's just nodding.
He's nodding, exactly.
Love it. Yeah. So you're on your way back to Tyrone, and any plans for the rest of the week?
No, back to work, and the children are off for the rest of the week, so they'll catch up with friends the next few days.
Nice.
So that's really it. Yeah.
Okay, so Claire, you stay on the line. Jeff, good afternoon
Thank
to you.
How are we, Catherine?
Sure, listen, we're mighty. We're mighty. What are you up to?
I'm a week off.
Nice.
So I'm busier than ever.
So does that mean your dad taxi around the place this week?
That's what I was just collecting from camp there about 20 minutes ago.
Okay, so how many kids do you have?
I have 3.
3 kids, and they're all at camp, dance camp, it says here.
Well, 2 are at dance camp and 1 is at home on his Xbox.
Okay. That's allowed to on the holidays. So what sort of dance camp? I'm intrigued.
It's hip hop.
Love it. Okay, so and are they girls or boys?
Well, I've 1 girl and 1 boy.
Do both?
My daughter just won the All-Ireland Masters in Tralee there a couple of weeks ago.
The All-Ireland Hip Hop Masters?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Hip Hop Master for 2023, yeah.
Wow.
Overall champ.
Oh my goodness, congratulations her. Well, you know, she definitely deserves a little holiday, I think, after that, possibly to Foda Resort. And so no other plans for the week off except ferrying children here, there and everywhere. And
I was just telling your researcher there, it's actually like an extended Easter hunt. I'm waking up each morning to chores, to hitting around the place. So, yeah, so I'm sure there'll be plenty to do.
There's always a new clue. Always a new clue to send you doing something else. And then, of course, trying to get your man off the Xbox as well.
This is it, yeah. That's an endeavour we'll struggle to conquer. Yeah.
Well, listen, best of luck to both of you today. It's Claire and Jeff. If you guys want to wish each other the best of luck.
Best of luck, Claire. Jeff.
Great stuff. Okay, guys, you're playing for a lovely weekend for four people in Fota Island Resort. Clare, you are first. You're contestant number one. So our first category is music. Okay, so how are you feeling? Do you want a little bit of help with a clue, which will get you 1 point banked? However, if you answer without a clue, you get 2 points. What do you think?
Let's try without a clue. Let's see how we go.
Without a clue. Okay, this is for 2 points. Can you tell us who this is? But I'm a creep. I'm a riddle. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. All right, Claire, have you got the name of the band?
Radiohead.
Is correct and right. Well done, you. In before the buzzer as well. So that is 2 points on the board. Jeff, coming back to you. Music is the category again. What do you think? Do you want to go?
I'll take no clue.
No clue. Okay. You're feeling confident in the music stakes as well.
We'll see how we get on.
All right. This is for 2 points. Have a listen and tell me who is this? I'm only happy when it rains. Ooh, what do you think,
Garbage.
Jeff? Yes!
Garbage.
Jeff! Fabulous. Well done. Well done, you. God, we have two musos on the line today. That's great, guys. 2 points each. Okay, Claire, coming back to you. And our second category is Irish voices. Okay, so if you go for a clue and answer correctly, you get 1 point. If you feel brave and you think you can recognise the voice with no clue, 2 points go on the board. What do you reckon?
Oh, I'll try with no clue. Let's see.
Okay. This is for 2 points. Have a listen and tell me, who is this?
Bradley Cooper was there, and we were leaving, and she was getting her phone out of her bag, and I noticed something sparkling in it, and I realised that she had stolen his fork. Now, she said that she was going to auction it for charity or something. But every now and again at home, I see her eating with it.
Do you know who that is, Claire?
Is it the comedian Dylan Moran?
Oh, hard luck.
No.
You're going to know it as soon as I say it. Chris O'Dowd.
Oh, yes, no. Of course.
Hard luck. Yeah. Not to worry. Okay, so no points that time for you, Claire. Jeff, back to you. And it's Irish voices. This is your second question. What do you think?
I'll take no clue, please.
No clue. Okay, so this is to bank 2 points on the board. And all you need to do is have a listen and tell me, who is this?
Yeah, potato, cheese and onion, which are a company there's in the north of Ireland where I'm from. Their cheese and onion are the best crisp they do. You put the entire packet on there. This is small bread, I'm going to say. And this is maybe the most exciting thing that will happen in your day, your year, your life, is the crunch. Is why it's called potato smashy. You go to this and go.
All right, Jeff.
That's Jamie Dornan.
Yes! Jeff, well done you. That is 2 points on the board for you. So that means, Claire, you got to go for the 2 points. So you got to go the no clue in order to stay in the game. All right.
Perfect.
So our third category today is cartoon characters. All right. So have a listen. Everybody's ears pricked in the car. And I need you to tell me, who is this?
What a nervous night to be walking home from the movies, Scooby-Doo. And all because you had to stay and see Star, Dog Ranger of the North Woods, twice. Like next time, signal.
Okay, Claire, what cartoon character is that?
Shaggy.
Yay!
Shaggy.
Yay. Well done. All right, that means we are neck and neck, Claire and Jeff, on 4 points each. And that means, Jeff, you can actually play it safe here. You can go for the one, get your clue. And if you get that right, you will be our winner today. You can still try and go out in a blaze of glory, Jeff, with no clue. So what do you think? What's it going to be?
I'm going to be a coward and take a clue.
You're going to be a coward. I think that's the smart move, to be honest. Okay, so again, we are cartoon characters. And for 1 point, which will win you the game today, here is your clue. A real snow queen, this character could leave you feeling cold. Who is this?
Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go.
Well, there's my earworm, it's Elsa.
Yay! Well done, Jeff Duffy from Glasnevin. You are our winner today. Claire, unfortunately, that means that you are, well, it's not unfortunately. We're going to send you some Ray Darcy Show Keep Cups.
Fantastic.
Exactly.
Well, congratulations to Jeff. He'll have a ball. I can tell you, he'll have a ball. He'll have a great time. Thanks, Catherine.
Not at all, Claire. Travel safely back up to Tyrone and all the best for the rest of the holidays. Jeff. I think that
absolutely
means
delighted.
You are absolved. You do not have to do any more chores for the rest of the week, I reckon.
You think?
So the kids will be delighted, though. There's Megan, Lennon and Mason.
Mason,
yeah. So you'll all have... Have you been down to Fota before?
I've drove by it before.
Okay.
It's a lovely, lovely part of the world.
Oh, well, listen, enjoy it. Enjoy the breakaway with the gang and fabulous prize. Happy Easter to you, Jeff. Nice chatting to you this afternoon.
Thanks a lot, Catherine.
All right.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Mary in Thurles has said, Catherine, I had a mini egg, Easter egg, in the bottom of the fridge that I'd forgotten about since last year. And the best before date was August. I ate it 3 weeks ago and it was yum. Another listener, some great ideas, Catherine, for using up leftover Easter eggs. Thanks for that. We just dropped ours to Chuck Dara in Kildare Town for their food bank there, which is a nice thing to be able to do. Absolutely. And lots of them all around the country as well. So that is a wonderful idea. All right. Keep your texts coming in. 51551. Now I think it's a bit of time for, well, it's always time for Harry Styles, isn't it?
Come on, Harry, we want to say goodnight to you.
The wonderful Harry Styles there. Now it's time for this week's Price Watch, and Connor Pope is with me on the line. Hey, Connor.
Hi, Catherine. How are you getting on?
Yeah, good, 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 good. So let's just crack straight into it. And if anybody has a query that you'd like Connor to look into, as always, you can email pricewatch@rte.ie. And I'll kick off this afternoon, Connor, with a problem from one of our listeners who's emailed in and said, first of all, can I say I know I am one of the lucky ones and having savings on deposit with my bank. It is around €20,000 made up of money I have been able to save and includes a small inheritance. My problem is the interest I'm getting on it. It is not even 0.5%, which makes no sense to me, as I thought interest rates were going through the roof. Any idea what is going on?
Yeah, now this is not unique to this listener by any means. There's tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people in the country who will be wondering the very same thing. Because it's been very well documented, Catherine, that the European Central Bank has been increasing rates over and over and over and over again since last summer. In fact, they've made 7 different rate increases. Now, whilst that's very bad news for some people, like it's very bad news for tracker mortgage holders, or for people who are on variable rates and who have been impacted quickly by those rate increases, it should be really, really good news for Ireland's savers. And there's loads of people out there. I mean, according to the central bank, there's around €130 billion worth of savings in Ireland right now, more than that, in fact. And one of the reasons for that is obviously during the pandemic, an awful lot of people didn't have any money, didn't have anywhere they could spend their money. I mean, we all remember, like, although it seems like a long time ago now, when the lockdowns were on, you couldn't go to a pub, you couldn't go to a restaurant, you couldn't go on holidays outside the country, or whatever, all of these different things. And people developed significant savings habits. And people are still bruised by the pandemic. And also they're fearful of what's happening in the cost of living crisis.
Sure.
So a lot of people are making the choice, do you know what, I'm not going to spend money on things that I might have spent money on in the past. Instead, I'm going to save it. And that's why this huge amount of savings has accumulated in Irish accounts over the last 3, 4, 5 years. And there are a lot of people who are in the position where they might have €10,000 or €20,000 or whatever it might be set aside. And the terrible reality of inflation means that if you have, let's say, €10,000 on deposit, if inflation's running at 10%, well, then over the course of 12 months, your €10,000 can buy less by 10% than it could have 12 months previously. So you might think, okay, well, at least the advantage now is because the European Central Bank is raising its interest rates, that's going to impact people who have money on deposit. And the reality is it hasn't yet. And in fact, Irish banks have been incredibly slow to pass on the interest rate hikes to the people with money on deposit. And in fact, they need to answer really serious questions about that.
I was about to say, why has that not been highlighted hugely before now?
Well, I suppose it should be. And I mean, maybe I think people are only starting to get their heads around the fact. And also the reality is a lot of people who have savings don't feel comfortable shouting about it.
Yes.
For the very simple reason that was illustrated in your listener's first sentence. I know I'm one of the lucky ones. Mm. So people think, okay, well, I've got money on deposit, so I can't be giving out when there are so many other people who are really struggling. Mm. And that's a very valid point to have, because there are a lot of people who would dream of having 10,000 or 20,000 euros on deposit. But having said that, that does not mean that Irish banks can continue to not pass on the value that they're getting from the European Central Bank. Because let's say if I was an Irish bank and I had €1 million to put on deposit with the European Central Bank, I would lodge that in my account in Frankfurt, which is where the central bank is based, and they would give me an interest rate today of 3%. So the question then is, if the European Central Bank is giving the Irish bank a rate of 3%,
why is that not?
Why is the Irish bank only giving their savers in this country a rate of 0.5%? Mm. And I was actually looking down through some of the rate comparisons, and a lot of the banks in this country are offering rates of 0.49%, 0.4%, 0.5%. And the reason they will say is, one of the arguments they will make is that for around 8 years from starting in 2014 up to 2022, the European Central Bank was charging banks all over Europe money to have it on deposit because interest rates were so low. So if a bank came to the European Central Bank and said, I have €1 million, they'd say, well, we'll take that from you, but we're going to charge you a fee for that because there was no interest rates. So what the banks will say in their defence, and this argument has a degree of logic to it, they're just recouping the losses that they made by having money on deposit for the last 8 years. And in the main, the banks didn't pass on those charges to you or I. So let's say if I did have €1,000 on deposit, they didn't charge me for that during the 8 years when they were being charged. So that's the argument that they'll make. But that argument can only hold water for so long because the rate increases have been going up and up and up
and
since last July.
So drastically and so quickly.
So drastically. I mean, they've gone up 7 times and they're now, that's the deposit rate that the European Central Bank charges will give banks is 3%. Mm. 6 months ago or a year ago, it was zero. So that's a phenomenal change. And when you see banks announcing profits that are running into the multiple hundreds of millions of euro, it's at that point you say, okay, lads, you know, we bailed you out in 2008. You had some tough times after that, largely because of their own reckless lending. Let's not forget that. And now it's time for you to pass on the money that you're making by having money by getting a higher rate of interest for the money you have on deposit to the savers. And if they don't do that, people will start to shout and scream about it much louder than they are right now. Mm.
So what would you advise this listener, Conor?
Yeah, that's the thing. Now, there's no point in saying, oh, it's all gloomy and tearing your hair out and saying there's no hope, because there is a little bit of hope. The first thing I would say to them is they should go onto the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission website, ccpc.ie. Now, they have a deposit account comparison tool. So you'll be able to say, okay, I have €20,000. I want to put it on deposit in an account that I can't access for the next 12 months, or an account that I can't access for the next 3 years, or indeed an account that I can access tomorrow. And they will give you all of the different banks, various financial institutions, and including the government savings schemes. And they will tell you how much money you can get for a return. Mm. So, for instance, you know, if you were to put it on account with a, you know, in a current account, you're going to get zero interest. If you put it on account and you say, okay, well, it's going to be in my account for 12 months, you might get a rate of interest of kind of 0.07%. But if you were to put it on account at the same sum into a 10-year national solidarity bond, for instance, which is the government-backed savings bond, you get 1.5%. interest, which is 3 times what this person is getting.
Okay.
But not only that, you don't pay dirt tax on that, because all of the money that you have on deposit with government-backed bonds is free of dirt tax.
Free of dirt.
So the question then is, how much, like, what kind of risk does somebody have? How much do they need to be able to access the money? Because a lot of people will think, okay, I've got €20,000 saved and I'm doing well, but I want to be able to access that in the case of an emergency in
3 years' time.
Rainy day money, away money, or whatever you want to call it. So, you know, for some people, that 10-year savings bond just wouldn't work. for some, but you know, if you went to look at a government-backed bond for 5 years or for 3 years, you know, you'll get a higher rate than half a point for sure. But the trick is to do your homework and then act on your homework. So if you can find a better rate for your money, switch it to that account, and you will be great glad you did in the longer term.
What was that website again that you said for people
it's
to look
the
at?
It's the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission. So it's the government-backed consumer watchdog, and okay. It's www.ccpc.ie.
Okay. Very quickly, you had a very interesting piece in your Price Watch section at the Irish Times yesterday that made me laugh and like had my mouth agog at the same time. It's 20 things killed by our phones in 20 years.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's phenomenal when you think about the changes that mobile phone has brought. And to be honest, the mobile phone, the first, as we know it now, celebrated its 50th birthday last week. So, you know, it first was it started to become a thing. Now, there was mobile communications before then, but the mobile phone, as we know it, is 50 years old. Mm. But it only really became a thing in Ireland in the mid-1980s. So it's only 40 years old in Ireland. That was when Aircel started selling mobile phones for €4,000 a pop. But it's only really become a thing since Steve Jobs rolled out the first smartphone in 15 years ago. And over the last 20 years, it's killed almost everything you can think of. And some of those things, Catherine, have been with us since Roman times, and since pre, like the map. When was the last time you knew anybody who looked at a map? And nowadays, you just say, "Hey Google, how do I get to Clifton?" And Google will take you to Clifton. It's just our world has completely transformed, and sometimes it's worth acknowledging just how different our world is now compared to how it was even a decade ago.
Honest to God, like the phone books, the yellow pages. I mean, when you think back at the phone books, it's really insane that everyone's phone number, address,
in the world of GDPR, the nation.
Yes.
Can I make a real claim? I called it the yellow pages, as you have, but a lot of people got onto me on Twitter and say, no, in Ireland it was called the golden pages.
Oh,
so that's obviously false memory syndrome on my part, because I thought it was called the yellow pages. But people assured me, now I haven't double checked this, but people assured me that it was actually called the golden pages in Ireland. I'm sure some of your listeners will know better than I did.
Right, well, you're going to start another debate, which we'll have to get to tomorrow, because I am out of time. Conor, thanks for joining us today.
Mind yourself. Take
care. Enjoy the rest of the holidays. That is all from us today. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned to Drive Time with Colm O'Mungon, who is up next, and I'll be back and chat to you tomorrow.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.